Shri Shri Radha Krishna Govardhana Shyama Radha Krishna Govardhana Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samabhatta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Govardhana Nandi Govardhana Samadha Vodhi Govardhana Samadha Vodhi Govardhana Samadha Vodhi Govardhana Shri Guru Shri Guru Govardhana
Extremely pleasing and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky, decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds. The earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting the sweet voices, with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. Pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the brahmanas engaged in ritualistic ceremonies united with the fires according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Krishna, Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God, was about to appear, the saints and brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. No, this is a description of the situation at the birth of Krishna. So because the appearance of the Lord in the material world is auspicious, all auspicious qualities and signs in the material world also appear. Now, of course, these things are material. Trees are material, flowers are material, wind is material, bees are material, seasons are material, planets are material. Nevertheless, there are certain arrangements of these planets and seasons and objects which are considered auspicious in the material world. So, when the moon is in Rohini, that of course is very auspicious because it's the exaltation sign of the moon. The moon is very strong there. And therefore this is considered to be auspicious in itself. So, that's one sign. Then, of course, all the other planets are there. And sometimes the planets, according to a person's karma, are not in very good positions. And they may be weak or whatever in auspicious places. So that's not considered good. And the better planets and better places and stronger positions you have, then in terms of material karma, it means better future. So Krishna is not affected by karma at all, or planets or anything. Rather, he's a controller of all the planets and everything else. But he makes an arrangement such that even material signs also become auspicious when he is born. Not that he moves the planets around at will suddenly when he's born, but somehow or other, when he is born, he chooses a time which signifies something very wonderful. Of course, as I said, this is wonderful in the material world. The planets cannot predict something over the spiritual world. They can only predict material things. Nevertheless, the Lord's appearance also corresponds with material auspiciousness as well as spiritual auspiciousness. So therefore, this description is here of the different planets and constellations, etc., and the position of the moon also. So that's one thing. The other is, of course, that the Earth itself responds and produces auspicious signs. So, of course, inauspicious things and conditions are also there in the material world. Floods and storms and things are considered inauspicious. Certain that's too cold or too hot, that's considered inauspicious also. So, here we find a very pleasant time when the breeze was blowing very coolly and the flowers were blooming like springtime, even though it wasn't springtime. The flowers were blooming, and it was also nighttime. Normally flowers don't bloom at night. But because of the Lord's appearance, then everything changed. Inspired, material nature inspired by the Lord changed its usual nature, and they became all auspicious at that time. So we find that the rivers are flowing with clear water, the winds are blowing very coolly, perfumed with the fragrant fragrance of blossoming flowers, etc., and the birds and the bees, etc., were making cheerful noises. So all this is auspicious. So this again is material in the material world. At the same time, we have to understand that in the spiritual world also there are bees and trees and flowers and water and wind, etc. So we should not think that only in the material world these things are there, but in the spiritual world also we have these auspicious items. The difference is that in the spiritual world they're always auspicious and they never become inauspicious at all. And of course auspiciousness means something a little different in the material world. It means good for us. it's pleasant for us. In the spiritual world, it is pleasant for Krishna and his pastimes. So therefore, all situations in the spiritual world are such that the seasons are suitable for his pastimes. So if he's having a spring pastime, then spring manifests. If he's having an autumn pastime, as in the Rasa-lila, then the autumn manifests. And the moon at that time is in a certain brightness or whatever, red moon is rising in the autumn season, etc. So, according to the pastimes, then, everything adjusts in the spiritual world to increase the pleasure of Krishna with his devotees. So, therefore, even in the material world, Krishna comes with his spiritual world. And therefore, in Vrindavan, and Mathura, where Krishna is born, where he is raised, this is not material at all. So when we hear descriptions of these places, then we can't think of material world. These are actually spiritual trees, and spiritual birds, and spiritual bees, and spiritual water, etc. So it's not material at all. However, this spiritual world, which appears in the material world, it's in the material world. So it relates somehow or other. So that's why we get demons sometimes from the material world entering into Vrindavan. Technically they can't do so, but in the material world there's some sort of exchange between the material world and the spiritual world. So the demons enter into Vrindavan and get killed by Krishna, etc. And we do have the seasons operating like the normal seasons. So therefore we have autumn at the autumn time and whatever, and we don't see the seasons interchanging whimsically also. So we see in the 10th canto the description of Krishna passing through the seasons. So, for instance, we have the winter season when he stole the clothes of the gopis. That was winter season. They're doing Katayani Vrata in the cold water of the Jamuna. And then we see later on there is a summer season where when the Krishna went to beg food from the wives of the Brahmanas, that was actually summer season. And we find the autumn season where the Rasa-lila took place. So we see different seasons going one after the other. Of course, Govardhan also is in the Govardhan pastime, also in the autumn season. And Damodar-lila also in the autumn season. So we find various seasons represented in Vrindavan, which correspond to the normal seasons. But again, if Krishna wants by his extraordinary mercy, within that then he can manifest other things. So, in the Rasa-lila then, in the middle of the night, the lotuses began blooming. When they don't bloom in the night, they bloom in the daytime. They were blooming at nighttime, the lotuses in the Rasa-lila. And if he wants all the seasons, flowers, they all bloom at once to enhance his pastimes. So, and also it's described even in Dwarka. When Narada Muni came, then Narada Muni was curious to see the pastimes of Krishna, so he went to one palace and he saw Krishna with Rukmini. And then at the speed of the mind, he went to another palace. And then he saw Krishna there also. And Krishna was doing something else with another queen. And instantaneously he went to another palace. And then Krishna was there also. And he was doing something else. That was amazing. But then also more amazing was that then he kept going from palace to palace to palace instantaneously. And Krishna was in all the palaces, but he was doing different things, and he was doing different things in different seasons. So some he was celebrating spring things, and some he was doing autumn things, and sometimes he was doing summer things, and whatever. and he's getting up in the morning in one palace, and he was going out to hunt at noontime in another palace, and he was in the evening time he was doing something in another palace, he's in the assembly. So all different parts of the day and all different seasons were also going on simultaneously by the power of Krishna. So if he wants to, he can adjust time and space and everything. But under normal conditions, he lets it follow the regular course, like in the material world. So therefore, we do have autumn pastimes and spring pastimes, etc., of Krishna. So, when Krishna appears in the material world, then he more or less corresponds with the material world. And the material world, not only Vrindavan, but the whole material world also tends to become auspicious and show auspicious signs. So therefore, the moon was in an auspicious position with all the different planets, which is observed everywhere in the world, not just in Vrindavan. So Krishna was born on the Ashtami, the eighth lunar day, not the waxing, but the waning phase, going towards the dark moon. So the moon is getting smaller. But it is said, out of joy, then the moon spontaneously became full. It increased instead of decreasing, and decreasing, it suddenly got full in jubilation at Krishna's appearance. So normally that's impossible, but by the Lila Shakti of the Lord, of course, anything can happen. So therefore, that became even more astonishing. So these auspicious symptoms are simply there to glorify the appearance of the Supreme Lord. So in the material world, when a person is born, then of course one can also look for good signs or bad signs or whatever. And then one of the signs, of course, is the birth chart. And then you can see the karma of the person, you can see whether they're going to have a good life or not. And so we see in the Bhagavatam that when Parikshit was born, then the astrologers came and they began glorifying him because they could predict his future. And then they said, he will be this type of person, he'll be a great king, a great leader, he had good qualities, etc., by looking at his birth chart. So the time of birth is very important, because then we can see the person's karma and their future and whatever, their character, etc., simply by that particular time at which they're born, which we cannot choose, because that also comes up by karma. But the great devotees of the Lord are not under karma, if they're Nityasiddha devotees, and the Supreme Lord is not under karma either. But they also correspond to material world, and therefore when the Lord is born, his planets are all in good positions, indicating auspiciousness, etc. But actually it's beyond all this, because he doesn't have any karma. But he chooses a very good time to come into the material world. So that is what is meant here by having the planets and the constellations, etc., and the moon in good positions. Not that he's controlled by this, but rather simply that he chooses a time which indicates auspiciousness even in the material world. So the appearance of the Lord, even without any of these qualities or signs or whatever, still the appearance of the Lord is auspicious. When he appears in the material world, this influences the world. We see when Krishna disappeared, then the sages ask, well, now that this is in the first canto of Bhagavatam, when the sages are speaking to Suta Goswami, so well, now that Krishna's disappeared, he takes all auspiciousness and all dharma with him. So then, we're just left with Kali Yuga. What are we supposed to do now? It's all full of sinful activities. So when the Lord appears, all wonderful qualities, all goodness, all dharma, etc., also come into the material world. And this influences the material world. And when he leaves, then of course, then it becomes again back to normal or whatever, back to sin. So the appearance of the Lord itself creates auspiciousness for everything. So that goes not only for Krishna, but for all of the avatars. But Krishna is not just an avatar, he is avatari. Avatari means, just like we have Amsa and Amsi. Amsa means a part. Amsi means the source of all the parts. So we have the avatars, the forms of the Lord, and we have the Avatari. He is the source of all the avatars. And not only all the avatars, he's also the source of all of the sources of avatars, because we could say, well, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the source of the avatars, or Mahavishnu is the source of all the avatars. But beyond that, we have the spiritual world with all those forms, and all those forms are also the sources of Krishna. So he is the avatari. So when he appears in the material world, there, it is very special. Of course, when any form of the Lord appears, is wonderful. But when Krishna appears, then it is very special. So that is why here, particularly with Krishna, all these details are given, describing the auspiciousness of the event as compared to the other forms who are previously described in previous cantos, like Varaha or Narasimha or Ramchandra, etc. All auspicious, but not so much attention is given to the details of his appearance in this material world. So here we find greater details given for Krishna, because he is Swayam Bhagavan. He's a very special form of the Lord, so therefore the whole world also manifests that special nature by different qualities. So the appearance of the Lord in the material world is very special, and Krishna is most special. So special because not that he fulfills simply restoring dharma or killing demons, which all the avatars do, but to display the very special qualities that make Krishna avatari. So those special qualities, of course, include greater powers, but also include his sweetness or his madhurya aspect. So this is what makes Krishna particularly more attractive and puts him in the supreme position. These very, very sweet qualities. So the appearance also signifies this. By the glorification of Krishna especially, this is an indication of his very special qualities that he will manifest in his pastimes when he grows and performs different activities. So the activities express his qualities. It is, if the Lord doesn't do any activities, it's very difficult to figure out his qualities. Of course, by looking, we can see the form and the color, etc. We get that much. But more qualities, mercy and other qualities, we cannot really detect unless the Lord performs activities. And activities in relation to his devotees, then we can understand his nature. So it is therefore the not just an appearance of the Lord, but an extended period in which he stays on the earth and displays these different activities, and thus we can appreciate his activities. So it is said that Krishna stayed for 125 years, so that corresponds to our time. It's not, obviously he's eternal. But in terms of our years, 125 years. So he appeared, stayed for 125 years, then disappeared. Of course, he is eternal, so that is only an appearance for our vision. So it is said that after Krishna disappeared, he disappeared from our vision, but he continued to do his activities. And he's still doing his activities in Dwarka and in Vrindavan, but we can't see them. So when we talk about the birth of Krishna, we shouldn't think he just suddenly appears and then he disappears later on. He's actually eternal. Now he's eternal in the spiritual world, always. And when he comes in the material world, once he appears, even if he disappears, his activities will continue in that place. Of course, then the next day of Brahma again, he also appears. So that he'll disappear again. So the Lord appears and disappears, but his pastimes and his activities, etc., will go on in spite of the fact that he has disappeared. So this is called aprakat lila, or unmanifested pastimes. So it means they're still going on, but we can't see them, that's all. So when we talk about birth, we shouldn't think that birth means then death. No. The Supreme Lord appears in the material world, he disappears, but he just disappears from our eyes and he continues to do his activities. That's all. So even his birth, therefore, also is not really a birth. Because previously also the activities were there that suddenly appears to our eyes and it goes on like this. So his birth in one sense is not a birth like ours. At the same time, we should not think that birth is an illusion. And that Krishna just has a little form like that and it's actually an illusion. But actually he's not that size and he just has these illusionary pastimes until he grows up to a certain period. No. Whatever Krishna manifests in terms of his form is real. But then, it changes. So we'll say it's not eternal. If Krishna's 1 year old and he's only this size, and he's 2 years old, he's this size, and he's 4 years old, he's this size, his form changes. But God never changes. He's eternally the same. So how is it possible God can change his size and his form, etc.? Of course, we know that the Lord has extraordinary powers, and he is one, but he is also Nrsimhadeva, and he's also Rama, and he's also Vamana, etc. He has all different forms. But even within one form, he can change and still be one. And it's not an illusion that he's small and then he gets bigger. Because Krishna is himself, he's not an illusion. And his body is non-different from himself. So he is a small child and he does grow. But all of these forms are eternal. So the small child Krishna is eternal. When he's slightly bigger, is eternal. When he's slightly bigger, is eternal. All these forms are actually eternal manifestations of Krishna. So, in the material world, Krishna manifests these different forms of himself. And technically in three periods. His Kaumara period, his Pauganda period, and his Kishora period. And each are particularly attractive to different rasas. So when he's in his Devi period, Kaumara, then Vatsalya rasa is strong. When he's in Pauganda period, Sakya rasa is strong. And when he's in Kishora period, then Madhurya rasa is strong. So each rasa gets a particular period of sweetness in his earthly pastimes. So these different forms of Krishna as he grows are all real. They are in no way illusion. So even as birth, we cannot say is illusory, even though technically the Lord is never born and never dies. But it is. It's a pastime in which Krishna appears as a baby, a newborn baby. And it's not illusory, it's real. But then he grows. And that's also real. And he comes to Kishora form, which is the form in the spiritual world. That's also real. But none of these forms are unreal. They're all actually real. So therefore, his birth is a real event. It's not illusory. It's real. At the same time, the Lord is unchanging. But by his extraordinary potency, he can manifest all these different forms. And they're all eternal. So all of these forms are manifested. Why? To give pleasure to his devotees. If he wants, of course, he can appear grown up like Nrsimhadeva and disappear as the huge lion and kill Hiranyakasipu. which was his purpose. But his purpose here is to display pastimes for all of those devotees who have very strong feelings for him. That is his main reason for appearing. So therefore, for those with parental rasa, he appears as a baby. For those with sakya rasa, he appears in Pauganda age. And for those who have madhurya rasa, he appears in Kishore age. So, and these devotees, of course, are exalted devotees with the strongest spiritual love for the Lord. And therefore, the Lord is very eager to make his appearance for these devotees. So, therefore, the appearance of Krishna is for the pleasure of his devotees. And simultaneously, of course, then he fulfills the request of the devatas and Brahma to get rid of Kamsa and all the demons, etc. That's a secondary reason. And restore Dharma, etc. These are secondary reasons. The main reason is to give pleasure to his devotees. So therefore, the concentration of the 10th canto is upon those activities of Krishna in relation to his devotees. And particularly we see that in the first 35 chapters of the Bhagavatam, where the 10th canto, where Krishna's birth and then his growth and his relationship with his parents and friends and the gopis is described. That is considered to be the highest aspect of Krishna. It displays his most wonderful qualities in relation to his devotees. So, the appearance of Krishna manifests this form for those particular devotees at that time who were longing for the pastimes of the Lord. But also, simultaneously, he manifests for all the people in the future because these activities are recorded in the Bhagavatam and the devotees therefore have access to them. So therefore, not only for the people who were there at that time, but for all the future devotees also, the Lord has manifested his pastimes. He's appeared in the material world and manifested his pastimes. So we have the good opportunity of appreciating Krishna and worshipping Krishna because we have this knowledge from the Bhagavatam. No, yeah, in the spiritual world, he's in the Kishore form.
So, Maharaj, what happened to the devotees who want to have Vatsalya Rasa there?
They have.
But there is no deity form.
Yeah, the form of Kishore is so wonderful that the person in Vatsalya Rasa sees that form, they can still see Krishna in his baby form. So when Yasoda and Nanda met Krishna and Balaram at Kurukshetra. They were very old at that time, quite old. They were certainly grown up. But they saw them as young children. And they put them on their laps, like young children. So that Kishore age is such that they could still see Krishna and Balaram as young children, suitable for Vatsalya Rasa. No demons, no. No. Yeah, anyway, they don't have demons. Of course, sometimes, or pastimes, the Lord may allow a demon or someone to enter into the spiritual world or something, or into Vaikuntha. There's a material Vaikuntha, and a demon can get up that far or whatever, like Durvasa went up there and to meet Narayan or whatever. So periodically, a demon can move there for pastimes, but there's no resident demons. But in the spiritual world, of course, they talk about demons, okay? And they say they are, you know, the Kamsa, you know, we fear Kamsa or something like that, or you know, they can talk about demons, but they never manifest there. So the actual manifestation of Putana and Trinavarta and all these demons is in the material world only, where they actually enter into Vrindavan. They didn't do any austerity. Hatred. Hatred. Well, this is the Lord's mercy on it. Of course, it is said through hatred one can approach the Lord, but that's not bhakti. So if one hates the Lord enough, then when the avatar comes, he will kill you or whatever like that, and you get liberated, whatever. But it's not considered devotion. But they do celebrate, they can celebrate those things from the past, that he was born on that day, whatever. No, but they have memory of those things. The blessing he gives to demons when he kills them is only when he's personally present. So the demons after that, after Krishna disappeared, don't get any blessings by hating him. Only if they're directly killed by him. When they're killed by him, they can get two destinations. One is a personal Brahman, which a devotee would never want. The other is to get a position in the spiritual world like Agasura or Putana. So they get an actual spiritual position, but that is inferior to what a devotee attains. So in other words, the relationship with the Lord is distant, and let's say the rasa, whatever it is, would be very weak in comparison to what a devotee will get.
What is the difference between Vishnu and Krishna?
Between?
Vishnu and Krishna.
Vishnu is avatar, and Krishna is avatari. He manifests more qualities. They all have the qualities, but they don't manifest those qualities. So Krishna manifests all the qualities in full. And therefore, in his pastimes, he manifests activities that Vishnu never manifests, like Rasleela. So Vishnu will never manifest a Rasleela or a Damodar pastime, etc. Well, there are forms of Vishnu like Krishni Garba, who appeared before Dhruva, so he's an avatar form. Oh, well, usually when he comes in the material world, then he has a particular name, like Krishni Garba. Of course, we do have the Purusha avatars, like Garbhadakshaya Vishnu or Kshiradakshaya Vishnu also. No? No, the Leela exists, but the form doesn't exist. But he still takes care of Krishna and dresses him every morning. That's her Balya Leela. And she bathes him, dresses him, does so many things for Krishna, but he hasn't got the baby form anymore. Yes, obviously. All the rasas exist there. Yeah, Brihad Bhagavatamrita says he also has a place there. Brihad Bhagavatamrita.